Lowell Thomas brings the news. From Kampala, Uganda. From Perth, West Australia. From Ajaccio, Corsica, comes today's news as reported by America's foremost newscaster, Lowell Thomas. Now, here is Lowell Thomas and the news.
Good evening, everybody. Henry Kissinger at the Kremlin. The U.S. Secretary of State met today with Leonid Brezhnev, the Soviet leader, expressing hope that we can reach a new strategic arms limitation agreement this year. They had 3 hours of private talk. Dr. Kissinger later observing that the U.S. and Russia are both determined to overcome domestic opposition to the current detente. This period of cooperation has gained in strength and will continue, said he, adding that the major goal of the Nixon administration is to make the relationship between our two peoples irreversible. President Nixon today was given 4 more days in which to answer the latest subpoena from Special Watergate Prosecutor Jaworski, this to permit his lawyer to evaluate the subpoena and make a judgment in terms of the response. In another facet of the same case, the deadline for a final appeal came and went today at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and so the special sealed report from the Watergate grand jury will be turned over to the House Judiciary Committee tomorrow. This supposedly deals with the president's handling of the whole Watergate case. Former White House counsel John Dean was a witness today at the Mitchell Stans trial in New York City, telling of alleged efforts to keep the Vesco scandal from rubbing off on the White House. The Hearst People in Need free food giveaway resumed today in 17 San Francisco area locations, bigger, more lavish than ever. A typical food box, including 4 and 5 steaks, 2 packages of frozen filet of sole, a frozen chicken, 12 eggs, 1 quart of milk, 1 jar of peanut butter, and fresh produce such as yams, onions, oranges, apples, and bananas. Total expenditure for just today expected to run about $1 million, all an attempt to win the freedom of Patricia Hearst, kidnapped 7 weeks ago. Britain's Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip returned home today from their tour of the Pacific. And at Windsor Castle, Princess Anne told them about her close call last week, the princess later flying to Gütersloh, West Germany, to spend 3 days with a unit of the Hussars on duty with the British Rhine Army. She's the honorary commander of that unit. In the wake of the attempted coup in Uganda, a wholesale purge of the Ugandan army, President Idi Amin reportedly disposing of at least 50 officers, with an estimated 2,000 enlisted men expected soon to follow, mainly members of the Lugbara tribe, which has long been Amin's chief opposition. And Australia's Prime Minister Gough Whitlam today was the target of a barrage of tomatoes and soft drink cans at Perth. This from farmers who forced the Prime Minister to cut short his speech, and he was jostled, nearly mobbed, on his way to his car. Taipei, Formosa, Chiang Kai-shek today hosted a farewell dinner for retiring U.S. Ambassador Walter McCaughey, this marking the Chinese president's first public appearance since a bout with pneumonia 2 years ago. Chiang Kai-shek, now 86. Since his illness, he has turned over most of his duties to his eldest son, Chung Ching Kuo, the premier. For a change, students and soldiers on the same side today in Athens. Thousands of each taking part in a giant parade marking the 153rd anniversary of the Greek War of Independence, President Gazikas later laying a wreath at the Athens Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in front of the Greek Parliament building that's presently unused. Britain's 3-week-old Labour government today approved a new budget which will present tomorrow to the Parliament. Details is yet a secret. Those in the know predict a new soak-the-rich program with higher taxes in the upper-income brackets and special tax hikes on many luxury items. Meanwhile, a beat-the-budget spending spree is on throughout the British Isles, including a run on furs, jewelry, television, perfumes, and so on. Bill at least one man ordering 20 cases of champagne for his wedding next July.
The groom rates an extra toast for that one, Lowell.
Poverty to me is not just a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of power. We want to try to see whether it's possible to live in the city. Whether or not we could bring people together to begin to work together and confront the problems that are all our problems. I think really that the problems that people face in life can be solved. You don't need someone from outside to do it. And you really don't need a great deal of money to do it. What you do need is a lot of people who recognize that they have the ability to do something about the problem. Not by themselves, maybe, but working together and sharing their talents and their ideas. Together they can confront the problems and overcome them. That's what the Campaign for Human Development is all about.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Where is your next story from, Lowell?
Ajaccio. France's Premier Messmer was a visitor today in Corsica at the scene of recent bombings by Corsican separatists, one of whom, a motorcycle policeman, threw a tear gas grenade in the direction of the Premier. Messmer, later traveling to Ajaccio, birthplace of Napoleon, there in a speech he said, "I wish to quote Napoleon and say with him, I have one passion, I have one mistress, and that is France. And so long until tomorrow."
CBS News. In just more than 8 hours from now, the secret Watergate grand jury report will be available to the House impeachment inquiry. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Federal Judge John Sirica says the report and supporting evidence may be picked up at the courthouse after 9:30 Eastern Time Tuesday morning. The transfer of the information became possible when no appeal was made at the Supreme Court to block the action. The secret report is believed to contain information concerning Mr. Nixon's activities, allegedly relating to the Watergate cover-up. Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski has given the White House until Friday to respond to a subpoena for additional material. The original deadline was Monday afternoon, but White House lawyers requested more time to evaluate the subpoena. The new Friday deadline will have given the White House 2 weeks to study the request. Presidential News Secretary Ronald Ziegler became indignant at one reporter's question as to whether the request for the delay meant Mr. Nixon's lawyer was going through the material to see if it were damaging to the president. Other White House sources tell CBS News the White House wants to determine the relevancy of the data before deciding whether to surrender part or all of it. House Speaker Carl Albert says President Nixon has damaged his own cause by making unfair attacks on the House Judiciary Committee, which is investigating possible grounds for impeachment. Congressman Albert says he knows of no basis in fact for Mr. Nixon's suggestion that the committee wants to back a truck up to the White House and carry off all the documents at will. Robert Finch, former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, and longtime political friend and associate of President Nixon, says the problems of Watergate were created by former advisors H.R. Haldeman and John Ehrlichman, but that Mr. Nixon must shoulder part of the responsibility. The president is not without blame, said Finch. After all, in the final analysis, the president supported the control of the staff by Haldeman, Ehrlichman, and others. More after this.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carlson, and how are you today?
Oh, fine, just fine. How about yourself, Gladys?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thank you. Yeah. Now, let's see what we've got here. Toothpaste, razor blades, prunes.
Something wrong?
Can we have a replacement checker for Gladys on number 5, please?
There are still a lot of people who laugh at prunes. But now, quite a few are finding out how good they really are. Because pound for pound, prunes have 8 times the vitamin A of the leading fresh fruit. And more iron, niacin, and vitamin B2 than the 5 leading fresh fruits. They're also a great natural source of quick energy.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, sir. I'm taking Gladys's place.
That's okay.
Let me see. Bread, milk, prunes.
Oh, boy. California prunes. The funny fruit that does so much for you.
The FBI has arrested a third suspect in connection with the Minnesota kidnapping of Eunice Cronholm, who was released unharmed. Authorities say no other persons are being sought and that all but $80 of the $200,000 ransom has been recovered. Former presidential aide John Dean returns to the stand Tuesday in the Mitchell Stans conspiracy trial in New York. Defense lawyers will cross-examine Dean on statements he made Monday. Sharon Lovejoy reports.
In lengthy and often repetitive testimony, John Dean told of attempts made by John Mitchell to influence a grand jury investigation, delay subpoenas for Securities and Exchange Commission depositions, and keep secret information about large political contributions made by financier Robert Vesco. Dean said in March of 1973, Mitchell called him, complaining about a grand jury that was investigating him, saying Dean should call then-Attorney General Richard Kleindienst and tell him what was going on. Mitchell and former Commerce Secretary Maurice Stans were under investigation at the time, charged with hampering an SEC probe into Vesco's contributions to the Nixon re-election campaign. Dean also said that Mitchell suggested he call the SEC chairman and get him to hold off on subpoenas until after the presidential election. Dean's testimony was in direct contradiction to statements made under oath by both Mitchell and Stans. Sharon Lovejoy, CBS News, New York.
More after this.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard, or maybe even found out for yourself. So we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who was on a bad trip, or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid, and a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign.
The Kansas City teacher strike has entered its second week, and officials now say all schools will close Tuesday. The system has been operating despite the strike. Money is a central issue in the dispute. No progress is reported in the San Francisco teacher strike, where a second union has joined the walkout. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Plywood workers packed a U.S. Forest Service hearing today to complain about loopholes that allow the export of timber. President Nixon's proposal to relax environmental standards because of the energy crisis is drawing criticism from Oregon politicians. Representatives for labor unions say there are so many contractors on the job at the Trojan nuclear plant site that enforcement of safety standards is just about impossible. A Yamhill County Circuit Court judge rejects moves by Newburgh school teachers to block tomorrow's school budget election. And voters go to the polls in 97 school districts tomorrow to cast their ballots on budgets. The weather forecast now for Portland, Vancouver. Increasing clouds during the night with rain by morning. Periods of rain continuing through Wednesday, the lows in the mid-40s, the highs about 60 degrees. Light winds tonight, chance of measurable rain increasing to near 100% through Tuesday and Wednesday. The present temperature stands at 56 degrees. That's 97 News headlines at 7 minutes after 10. I'm Bill Garrity, and now CBS Mystery Theater.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the terrifying world of your own imagination. The law says, thou shalt not kill. And that's the law most of us openly acknowledge. Yet, there are other laws. Laws and drives that stir primitive, long-forgotten urges, instincts. Laws that raise murder from the worst of sins to the most satisfying of deeds.
Please, let me go.
Oh, no. I've got you now, Jim.
You have no reason to kill me. We're friends.
It's nothing personal, Jim.
Why do you want to kill me?
A hawk kills a rabbit. Why? Because he has to. It's the law of nature.
Frank, you're crazy. Put away that knife.
I'm a natural man, Jim. I'm only obeying the law of nature.
Kill me!
Thank you.
mystery drama, The Diary of a Madman, is based on the story by Guy de Maupassant and was adapted especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
18 today, huh?
Yeah, 18. I never had so many decisions.
Well, how's that?
What to do? Go back to school, join the Navy, spend the summer at the lake?
Yeah, I see what you mean. You got one of these yet?
What? Selective service, a draft card. How come? There's no draft.
Well, they aren't inducting anybody, but you still gotta register with Selective Service within 30 days of your 18th birthday. That's the law.
Where do you register? Guess I'll have to get on it.
To handle your Selective Service registration requirements, see your local board or phone toll-free 800-452-0283.
Homicide is illegal, immoral, and a mortal sin. We condemn and punish the murderer. And yet, from time to time, doesn't an entire nation rise up in righteous anger and slaughter another nation? And so, there are those who, naturally enough, ponder the question. If it's noble to kill for one's country at wholesale, why is it base to kill for oneself at retail? These are the thoughts that occupy the mind of a tall, well-dressed, dignified gentleman. He's walking down a deserted street very late one night in the early summer, some 25 years ago. As he passes a darkened doorway, he hears a gasp.
Oh, what a relief.
I beg your pardon.
Oh.
Is something the matter, miss?
Yeah. Oh, it's only you.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, you.
I don't believe we know each other, miss.
Wilson. Darlene Wilson. Oh, my God, it's you.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, you see, I took this job at Benji's Diner. My first night at the job. You know the place?
No, I can't say that I do.
Well, never go there. Oh, what a bunch of creeps. Anyhow, somebody said this street was a shortcut to the bus stop. And I was walking down the street and I heard these footsteps coming up right behind me. Well, wouldn't you be scared if you was me?
Well, I suppose.
Oh, I got so scared. I tried to hide in this doorway. Oh, and it turned out to be you.
Well, I'm sorry I frightened you.
Oh, forget it. Oh, you're just the kind of person somebody would like to see in a lonely, deserted street late at night.
Really? Why?
Well, you're so well-dressed.
Is that all?
Well, look. Is it okay if I walk with you as far as the boulevard? I guess it's pretty safe there.
Yes, of course.
Do you mind if I ask you something?
Please do.
I really shouldn't ask strangers such questions, but what's a person like you doing in a neighborhood like this, anyhow?
I was looking for somebody.
Down here?
Yes.
What kind of person will you be looking for in this part of town? I mean, it's none of my business.
Well, in a sense, it is your business.
It is? Oh.
Because I happen to be looking for a person like you.
What? What did you say?
Person like you.
What are you talking about?
You see, I have a certain urgent need.
Now, listen here, mister. If I was that kind of a girl...
No, darling, it's obvious you are not that kind of girl.
Well, then, what do you want from me?
I want your life, Darlene.
What are you saying? No, please, get out of my way.
Oh, no,
now,
Darlene.
Let go of me. Let go.
No, I can't, Darlene.
You can't kill me. I never did anything to you.
Oh, no, of course not.
I don't even know you.
There's nothing personal in this,
please,
Darlene.
I'm scared. Please leave me alone.
Please, don't struggle. I won't hurt
please.
You. It'll be over. Very quickly.
I don't want to die. Don't please. Why did you do that? Help me, please. Somebody. Help me. Some maniac step.
I'm not a maniac, Darlene. To kill is to obey the law of nature. Nature commands all of us to kill. June 29th. I've done it again. And again. It was so easy and exciting. She struggled desperately. I could feel the wild beating of her heart, the hysterical pounding of pulses. And then the climax of the drama. A single thrust of the blade. And once again, no one will ever know. Who could possibly suspect me? The knife. I carefully cleaned and hid it in my desk. There was blood on my lapel. I scrubbed every trace of it away.
Morning, Frank.
Good morning, dear. Everything smells so good.
You mean you've regained your appetite?
Well, I don't know. I'm starved.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've been so worried about you lately, Frank.
What did the poet say, dearest? Come fill the cup. Well, fill my cup and my plate with doubles of everything.
What's come over you?
Well, I feel like a brand new man today.
How was the banquet last night?
All the usual political nonsense.
Anyone want you to run for the Senate?
Well, as they say, the feelers were out.
Do we want to live in Washington?
Oh, darling, that was a bore. I made an excuse and left early.
Oh? Where'd you go?
Oh, out for a stroll.
One of your long walks.
Clears the mind.
Doris took your coat to the cleaners. The lapels were all wet.
Yes, I tripped and fell to the pavement.
Oh, you didn't hurt yourself?
No. I landed on some grease or paint or something. I tried to wash it off when I got home.
Well, you didn't have to bother. Doris said it looked like blood.
Oh, it sounds ominous. Anything in the paper?
Oh, the usual mess. Plus a nasty little murder.
Oh?
A young girl who worked in a diner, killed on her way home from work.
Oh, killed, huh? Why? How?
How?
Mm-hmm.
Stabbed to death on a deserted street.
Oh, what a terrible thing. She was hardly more than a child.
How would you know that?
Well, you said a young girl.
Oh, she was just 18.
Oh, but why?
Oh, I think it'll turn out to be a lover's quarrel.
Really?
They picked up her boyfriend. Seems the two of them had been quarreling.
A what?
Oh, use of the car. Her parents say she was angry because he took it, but he claims it's as much his as hers.
Well, what do they have on the boy?
Well, he's got blood stains on his jacket.
Oh. Well, that doesn't look good.
No. He claims he was out riding around and got into a fight.
Oh, with whom?
Well, that's the problem. He'd been drinking and can't remember where or with whom. Oh, why do we talk about these things at home, Frank? Isn't it bad enough you have to live with them?
June 30th. Although I'm completely above suspicion, I can't afford to be careless. Not that anyone in his wildest dreams would ever suspect. Still, I should be more careful about my clothes. Last time, there were also bloodstains. And yesterday, I'd forgotten to lock my desk drawer. Of course, Estelle never bothers. But still, no one should ever read this diary.
I didn't do it. They're lying. They're all lying.
Order. Order! Order, I'll clear this court. The defendant will rise and face the bench.
Your Honor,
You call me Your Honor, young man. By your conduct, you show no respect for the law or for this court.
Judge? Judge Wallace? I didn't kill her. Why would I kill her? Why? I loved her.
Young man, you're being given a fair trial. You have every opportunity to prove your innocence.
Judge, please. None of them believe me.
What are you saying?
Everybody thinks I'm guilty. I can tell. But I was cruising around and I got into a fight. I got the bloodstains that way. I got no alibi, but I didn't do it.
You'll have to be seated. We'll proceed in an orderly fashion. Will the attorney for the people continue his cross-examination? Aren't you going to finish your steak, Estelle?
You mean you still have room for more?
I'm always this way when I'm trying a case.
Well, it must take a great deal out of you.
Yes, especially this one.
Why this one?
Oh, I don't know.
Frank, that boy's innocent.
Estelle, that's for the jury to decide.
No, not completely. It's for you to decide. I think you've decided.
How can you say that?
By the way you're handling it. Please, Frank, you may not be aware of it, but...
Aware of what?
Well, you're favoring the prosecutor.
Now, that's ridiculous.
Well, then, it has to be my imagination.
I don't understand why we're even talking about this. We never discuss my case.
It's just that.
Estelle, you're actually pale. What is it?
I'm convinced that boy is innocent.
Well, if he is innocent, he'll be acquitted.
But you know that isn't true. The innocent don't always go free, and the guilty aren't always punished.
Estelle, I've never seen you like this before.
I know, and I just can't account for it. But I have this conviction. That boy is absolutely innocent.
Charlene, this evidence...
I don't care about evidence.
Now, that's irrational.
Well, what can I do? I know. Don't ask me how. I just know. That boy is innocent.
Well, then there's every chance the jury will agree with you.
No, Frank. That's what makes it so terrible. I don't think the jury will agree with me.
I had killed before. But this was the first time somebody was going to pay for it. So it was doubly exciting. I had not only killed her, but in a very real sense, I would also be killing him. He was doomed. I could tell. They were a hanging jury if I ever saw one. They didn't like the boy. I could read the verdict in their faces. And so I went out of my way to give them the kind of charge that would be as favorable to the defendant as I could make it. Because I knew it'd save them. They stayed out a whole day, all night, and the better part of the next morning. There was never any doubt in my mind. Simmons, you have been found guilty Have you anything to say?
I was brought up to believe in God and to believe in justice. And I can tell you, there's going to be justice one day. Not today, but one day. And the person who killed Darlene will never be forgiven.
Thanks for picking me up, dear.
Yeah, well, I didn't think I could come to court today, but I couldn't stay away. Did you have to hang him?
Darling, it was out of my hands. Mm. The jury wants him executed. There was no recommendation for mercy.
Do you think he's guilty?
We don't think about these things, darling. We hold a trial and hear the evidence, and the jury decides. Therefore, he's guilty.
Well, I still say he didn't do it.
I'm sorry.
I heard your summation. You were obviously on his side.
November 27th. All of his appeals ran out. He was executed last night. I understand he died very well. But it isn't as if I killed him with my own hands. And it's been a long time. A very long time since I obeyed the law of nature. I'm growing restless.
Oh, honey, I took so much trouble with that chicken. You haven't even touched her.
I'm sorry, dear.
Oh, you're out of sorts tonight. Actually, honey, you haven't been yourself all week. You've been working too hard.
I have a headache.
Oh, well, why don't you lie down?
No. I think I'll take a walk.
Well, it looks drizzly out.
Well, that's just the kind of weather I like.
Well, when you decide on one of your walks, there's nothing I can say to stop you. Put on your rubbers and wear a raincoat.
Yes, of course, dear.
I don't want to have to worry about you.
Walking may be good for some people, but it can be extremely hazardous for others, especially for someone who might just happen to run into Frank Wallace. As Frank walks calmly through the rain-soaked streets, he sees a short, slight figure just up the block. And once again, there is the quickened pulse, the rapid heartbeat, the flushed face, and Frank's fingers tighten around the knife in his pocket. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
Last Tango in Pittsburgh.
There I was at Raoul's All Right Tango Lounge.
My little orchid, will you tango with me?
It was Raoul.
You're a splendid dancer.
Thank you.
But what was that?
I was what?
That sound effect.
Oh, I'm a few pounds overweight, and this ball and chain points out how my extra weight can get in the way.
I'm pointing you back to your chair.
Our heroine decided to lose that extra weight. She exercised and ate smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast. A bowl of Special K skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and 100% delicious. After a while, she was rid of the ball and chain and back at Raoul's.
Darling, you're looking fantastic.
What a happy ending.
What ending? We're just getting started.
Raoul? Hmm? Get lost.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. Each group elected a board of directors, chose a product, set up a production line, sold stock, and went into business. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members.
Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
Franklin K. Wallace is a distinguished judge. He's a credit to the community and an ornament to his profession. So what is he doing out late at night on a dark street in a drizzle and fog with a knife in his pocket, moving swiftly toward a man who is walking just ahead of him?
What up? Hey, well, I'll be. It's Judge Wallace. Evening, Judge.
Oh, it's,
Jim Downer, don't you recognize me?
Yes, of course. How are you, Downer?
Well, I tell you, I'm having a problem.
Oh?
She says to me, Jim, you're chasing around. And it's true, I am. And she says, Jim, you've squandered not just your money, but mine. And it's true, I have. And she says, Jim, if you don't quit, I'll leave you or I'll kill you. Either one, maybe both. I don't know. Hey, what are you doing out on a night like this, Judge?
Just walking.
Oh, you don't kid old Jim. Nobody picks a night like this to go just walking. Something's up, huh, Judge?
Well, nothing you'd want to write about in a newspaper, darn it.
You know, Judge, I need a story in the worst way. I'm up against a deadline. I don't even have tomorrow's column. How about an idea?
Well, how about, murder?
Murder?
Murder.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so.
Why not?
Oh, because it's kind of offbeat, you know? Average person isn't concerned with murder. He doesn't think about killing.
Oh, that's where you're wrong, Downer. Killing is the law of nature. Every living being has the mission to kill.
Well, Judge, I wouldn't exactly say that.
Oh, yes, everyone wants to kill. Animals kill ceaselessly every day in order to live. Birds constantly must kill.
Well, yeah, but we're not exactly talking about animals.
We kill or we cause to be killed for our benefit.
Well, it's kind of a gruesome topic.
No, killing is almost the same as creating. To make and to destroy. These concepts are the history of the universe.
Well, Judge, it's been great running into you, but I have some people down the line.
To kill is the law.
All right, if you say so.
Because
Judge,
nature loves eternal youth. The more she destroys, the more she renews herself.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that for a minute. Okay, I'll see you.
Now, just a second.
Eh? What is it?
I want to show you something. Here, look.
Judge, what are you doing with a knife? Judge, let go of me. Are you crazy?
Oh, no, I'm not crazy. We kill animals, but that's not enough to satisfy.
Now, wait a minute.
Long ago, the basic need was met by human sacrifice. But now, each man must...
Help! Help!
Quiet.
I always treated you fairly, Judge. I always wrote good things about
There's
you.
There's nothing personal in this,
Judge.
Please understand. It has to be done.
Judge.
Don't struggle, Jim. It'll be over very quickly. Was he dead? I thought I heard someone coming. His scream may have been heard by someone, the police maybe. If he wasn't dead, I was doomed. But I didn't have time to make sure. I had to get out of there because I knew I had blood on my coat. I had to get out of there, and I had to get rid of that coat.
Frank, where's your coat?
Estelle, I don't think you're going to believe me, but I gave it away.
You what?
Yes, you know the legend of the rich man who gives his coat to a beggar? Well, I ran into some poor derelict, and I just gave him...
Oh, Frank. What a generous thing to do.
Well, not really. The coat was getting old, and I was getting tired of it.
And I never really liked it.
Oh.
Let me tell you the latest news.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Downers, mm-hmm. The political columnist on the Herald?
Yes, what about him?
Well, he was found stabbed on the street.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Is he dead?
He's in a coma.
Oh.
He was unconscious when the police picked him up. Evidently, he'd been attacked. He'd been screaming for help.
Well, will he recover?
Well, the police are convinced he'll be able to identify his attacker, but, well, he has to regain consciousness.
Yes. Yes. Estelle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go to the hospital. I'd like to see him.
Oh, I didn't know you were that close.
Well, Jim was, he said he wanted to do a biography on me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But you never said anything.
Well, it was just in the talk stages.
Well, they probably wouldn't permit visitors.
Well, the least I can do is go there and ask if he needs blood.
Oh, Frank. That's wonderful.
The doctor said, sure, he needs blood. And they took a pint of mine, which I thought was only fitting and proper. And then I asked if I could see Jim. And the doctor said Jim was still in a coma, but I could pop inside for a second. There was a cop stationed outside the door. He saluted me, and I walked into the room. He was lying very still. And there were all kinds of tubes attached to various parts of his body. As I leaned over to look at him, he slowly opened his eyes. And I knew he was going to live and destroy me, unless I could do something. I could hear the doctor out in the hall. He was exchanging greetings with the policeman. Quickly, I pulled gently at one of the tubes in his arm. I didn't know what that might do, but it was all I had time for.
Do you want some warm milk, honey?
No, I'll just go to bed. Any news about Jim Downet?
Sorry to have to tell you this, Frank, but came over the radio a few minutes ago. Jim Downet is dead.
Oh.
They said he never really had a chance.
January 20th. I had discovered something else. In addition to the thrill of killing, there is also the exhilaration that is felt by the victim. Nature is kind. She also gives the one who is doomed the feeling of the drama. I know, because for several hours last night, I could have been a victim. Had Jim Downet lived, well, it taught me a lesson. I should raise the stakes. I shouldn't be so invulnerable. After all, if I am absolutely 100% safe, where is the thrill?
Morning, darling.
Oh, I see you've prepared a big breakfast.
You know, it seems to me that every time there's been a murder, you eat a big breakfast the following morning.
Oh, how do you account for that?
Well, how do you account for this? Police have suspect in Downard murder.
Have they?
It's remarkable. It only happened late last night, and they have their man a few hours later.
Darling, he's not exactly their man. He's just a suspect.
Well, they don't say, but they hint pretty strongly that the evidence against him is rather heavy.
Well, now that's for a jury to decide.
I don't know, Frank. I don't think he did it.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
Well, it's just a feeling.
Darling, he'll have his day in court.
Well, that doesn't necessarily prove anything.
Estelle, are you attacking our system of justice?
Did that poor kid, what's his name, Peter Simmons, did he get justice?
Well, he got a fair trial.
Huh. Well, I still believe he's innocent, for all the good that does him now. And I believe this man is innocent, too.
Estelle, you don't know what the evidence is.
Well, it's just a feeling, and it just won't go away.
Well, you're being silly.
Maybe. I just wish that you weren't involved.
Well, I have to be involved. It's my job. February 23rd. The man's name is Tom Lewis. 30 years old. He has a previous record. He did time for robbery and again for assault. I don't think his chances are too good. He doesn't have a very good story either.
Well, I was just walking along down the street, see, and I thought I heard somebody yell for help. So I wasn't going to get mixed up in it, see? But it was foggy. And I couldn't see, you know? And I guess I must have tripped over him. I could see he was dead, or good as dead. And there was blood. There was blood all over him. And that's how it got over me. And the money. Well, all right. I figured as long as he's dead anyhow, he might have a couple of bucks on him. So I reached into his pocket.
Your Honor, we should like the jury to examine this $50 bill.
Listen, I'm not denying I took the money.
Order, order.
But somebody else had already knocked him off.
The accused will remain seated and orderly.
Well, I'm being framed.
Mr. Lewis, I will not warn you again. The court cannot tolerate these outbursts.
But I didn't kill him.
February 25. I see now each of my murders has been a masterpiece. I feel like an artist. With this difference, I cannot accept credit for my work. Well, perhaps the day will come when a man will be honored for a superlative job such as I can do. Meanwhile, I'm not exactly being cheated. No one else wants to take credit for my work either. That's a consolation. Still?
Yes, Frank?
Well, now, what are you doing sitting here in the dark?
Is it dark? I hadn't noticed.
Well, did you fall asleep?
No.
Well, let me turn on the light. There. That's better. Well, what a day. Did you hear about it on the news?
No.
The boy. He isn't doing his case much good with all those outbursts. Would you like to go somewhere for dinner?
I don't feel like eating out.
Oh, well, that's all right. I just assume.
The truth is, I don't feel like eating at all.
What's wrong?
That's a good question. How can I answer it?
Estelle.
I don't have the faintest idea of what to say or what to think.
About what?
About everything.
Darling, I wish I knew what you were talking about.
But there's really nothing I have to tell you. You're the one who has to tell me.
I always tell you everything.
I was paying the bills today.
Oh. Well, that's enough to get anybody down.
And, I ran out of blank checks.
Oh?
I remembered...
Yes?
That you always have an extra book of checks in your desk drawer.
Oh.
But you always keep it locked.
Yes, that's right. I do.
I thought... Maybe this time, you might have left it open.
Estelle, I never go through your things. We always respected each other's privacy.
But the drawer just happened to be open. And I found this little book.
And, did you read it?
Yes. Yes, Frank, I read it. Every single word of it.
Did you tell anyone about it?
No, Frank. I've told no one.
Well, that's good. That's very good to know.
Frank.
How would you like to poke innocently through your husband's desk and come up with a diary like the one you've been listening to? Well, you could say she's twice foolish. First, to find the diary, and second, to let him know it. We'll let you know what happens when I return shortly with Act Three.
The Marines are looking for a few good men, men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn. Like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified.
qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
Time. The steady pace of time. Moving inexorably on and on and on. And all the while, your federal income tax return lies neglected, undone, because you need help and don't know where to turn. And yet the help you seek is close to you, closer than you may realize. The Internal Revenue Service will answer your questions. Just call your nearest IRS office. This year, from coast to coast, the IRS is providing toll-free telephone service to answer your tax questions. Wherever you are, you can call without having to pay for long distance. Just check the phone number listed in your tax form instructions. Let the IRS take the mystery out of your federal income tax this year.
There's been a series of particularly brutal murders. You are the wife of a distinguished jurist who has presided over most of the trials and sent the supposedly guilty to death. Now, you find a diary in which your husband claims that he is the killer.
Frank, what are you going to do?
What do you mean, what am I going to do?
Well, you killed those people. This boy... This one who's on trial now for the murder of Jim Downard, he's innocent.
No, dear, he's guilty.
But I just read your confession. And Peter Simmons, who was hanged for killing his sweetheart. Well, you admit you killed her.
Darling, please sit down. You're becoming hysterical.
That's right, I am. I have every right to become...
Estelle, please, will you listen?
But to what?
To the truth.
I've just read the truth.
Darling, listen. For many years, I wanted to write a book.
What?
Now, will you please just listen? You don't have to say anything until I'm finished. I have been fascinated by the criminal mind. And so after a particularly brutal, apparently senseless murder is committed, I try to place myself in the mind of the killer. What does he think?
The way you put it, murder is obedience to a natural law.
That's poetic license, dear.
What do you mean?
We kill, not for gain. Oh, we think we do. We think we kill for money or for passion, but the truth is, these are just pretexts. Now, we kill because of an ancient urge. And when the urge becomes strong enough, we take advantage of any pretext that comes up.
But I'm not aware of this urge.
And neither am I, dear. It's been refined and civilized out of us, but there are lower types. You see, the Tom Lewis's,
but
the Pete
why?
Simmons. Why? Why what?
I don't know.
Estelle, do you believe that I killed these people?
Well, there it was in your own handwriting.
Oh, Estelle, could you actually believe me capable of murder?
I don't know. It was such a shock, and I was so frightened.
Darling, we've been married 20 years. Don't you know all there is to know about me?
I thought I did. And then I happened to remember certain things.
Like what?
Well, each time there's been one of those murders, you just happened to be out walking.
Well, there is such a thing as coincidence.
And when that girl was killed, well, you did have stains on your coat.
Oh, darling. Would you hang me on circumstantial evidence?
Well, you hung Peter Simmons on circumstantial evidence. And circumstantial evidence is tightening the noose around Tom Lewis's neck every day.
Do you mean you seriously believe?
No. I believe you.
That's better.
I believe you. Because I have no alternative.
February 27. How could I have been so stupid? Why did I leave that drawer unlocked? I'm sure there are psychologists who would say that I want to be caught, but that's ridiculous. Does she believe me? Does she? Or do I have to kill her? Kill Estelle? No, that would be testing the law, the natural law. Can you kill a loved one? Because I do love Estelle. That would be the highest obedience to the law, to kill the one you love.
Very well, Mr. Lewis. You expect this court to believe that you just stumbled across Mr. Downard's body in the dark?
It's the truth.
He had already been attacked by someone else.
Yes.
He was still alive.
I think so.
You insist you heard him cry for help.
That's right. Someone had just attacked him, see? And he's the one who killed him.
Yeah, but we don't know that he cried for help. All we have is your word for it.
But it happened, I tell you, and...
Yes? What? What did you want to say?
Mr. Lewis, you must answer the prosecutor's question. What happened?
Well, it was foggy. But you see, just as I got there, I saw somebody.
You saw somebody?
Right. I could see somebody running away.
And could you describe that somebody?
He was tall. Very tall.
There's no mention of this somebody in any of your previous statements?
Well, that's because I was nervous, see? I couldn't think, but now...
Yes?
Well, now, as I go over it again and again in my mind, I remember. There was somebody, see? A tall guy. And he was running away. I mean, I can even remember his footsteps. His footsteps.
And so now you expect us to believe that the murder was committed by a certain mysterious somebody.
I expect you to believe the truth.
I think we already know the truth.
You heard about today's testimony, Estelle?
Yes.
He claims that a tall, mysterious stranger was running away from the scene.
Yes, I know about it.
I was out walking that night.
You were?
And I'm tall. Exceptionally tall.
Yes.
And if you want to add to it, I came home without my coat. Now, why would I do that? To get rid of it. And why would I want to get rid of my coat? Because of the blood stains, naturally.
Oh, please, Frank.
How are we going to live with this, Estelle? You suspect me of being a killer.
I never said...
You don't have to say. I can tell by your face, by the tone of your voice, you suspect me.
I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Well, if you think I'm a killer, shouldn't you want to stop me?
How? Even if I believed it, who would believe me?
I'm sorry, Estelle. I'm sorry for both of us. I should have never written a book like that, and you should never have read it. I don't know what kind of life we can have together. You'll never know the truth.
But I will, Frank, I will. I found a way to determine the truth.
Well, how? How could you?
The truth is in your diary. I read your diary very closely, and I found a way. I found a way. It's not important, Tom Lewis.
How'd you get in here?
It wasn't easy.
Now, what do you want?
I want to save you.
Huh. Yeah, why?
Listen, I pulled a lot of wires to get into this prison. I'm the only chance you've got.
Who are you kidding? I got no chance at all. Unless you can work a miracle. How are you at miracles, huh, lady?
Just pull yourself together. You have a job to do.
Now, look, lady, I don't know who you are, what you want, but it ain't going to work.
You have absolutely nothing to lose. Now, just tell me, was there or was there not a tall man who ran away as you approached?
Yeah, I told the prosecutor.
Now, you just didn't make that up in the desperate hope someone might believe it.
Lady, I don't have to lie. I got nothing to lose. There was someone.
Tall?
Yeah. Yeah, tall guy.
And that's all you could say about him?
Well, he was tall and kind of athletic looking, you know. Good build, and he moved fast.
I see.
Hey, Lee. Hey, what's the matter? Come on, what are you crying about?
Oh, nothing at all. Now, do you want to be cleared of the murder charge?
Huh. Just like that, huh?
Well, almost.
Why should I be cleared?
Because tomorrow, you'll stand up in court and admit you killed Jim Downard.
Oh, great. And that's going to clear me?
Yes.
Oh, lady, why don't you leave me alone, huh? I got it tough enough now.
Do as I tell you.
You mean you want me to just jump up and holler, I killed him?
Yes, and then you'll go on and this is what else you'll tell them.
And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've heard all the testimony, seen all the evidence, and now it's up to you to decide whether the accused, Tom Lewis, is guilty as charged of the crime of murder.
They all have to decide.
There will be order in this court. Order.
I mean, what's to decide? I'm guilty. Hey, here we go.
Order. Order. The prisoner will be seated.
I'm guilty. Guilty, you see? I don't care what those clowns on the jury think. I killed him. I killed Jim Downard. I killed him, and I'm proud of it. That's it. I'm proud of it. Sure, I killed him. What's wrong with that? Everybody kills sooner or later. We're all killers, you see? I killed him because I couldn't help myself.
I said be seated.
Didn't you ever want to kill somebody, Judge, huh? Didn't you?
I'll have you removed from this court.
What do I care? I killed him. And I also killed that woman last year, you know? That Darlene, right? Darlene, what's her name? I killed her, and her boyfriend swung for it.
You did not.
I did. I can still feel the wild beating of her heart, you see? The hysterical pounding of her pulse. And then you stab. You stab with a knife.
You didn't kill her.
I killed her. And I killed Tom Downard. You can't take that away from me. Don't anybody try to take it away from me.
Silent.
I won't be silent. I killed because I had to. I had to obey the law. The natural law. Nature commanded me to kill.
That's a lie. You're a cheap little punk. What would you know about nature's laws? What would an ignorant hoodlum like you know about nature's law? What would an illiterate clod like you know about the dark hidden places in the human soul? What would you know about the bloody imperatives of the race?
I know. I killed both of them.
You're a liar. You didn't kill anybody. I did. I killed Darlene Wilson and I killed Jim Downard and I can prove it.
Ray.
Now you know, Estelle. Now you know I did it. And they weren't cheap little crimes of passion. They were obedience to the elemental law. You know that's the truth, Estelle. Show them the book. Show everybody the book.
Well, they were all set to throw the book at ex-Judge Frank Wallace, but of course, the plea was insanity. And if it proves anything at all, it demonstrates that no one should try to steal credit from a true artist. No one else should ever try to pose as the author of his works, even if those works are concerned with murder. I'll be back shortly.
Poverty to me is not just a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of power. We want to try to see whether it's possible to live in the city. Whether or not it's possible to share life, you know, on a city street. The give and take of city living is what you might call it. Whether or not we could bring people together to begin to work together and confront the problems that are all our problems. I think really that the problems that people face in life can be solved. You don't need someone from outside to do it. And you really don't need a great deal of money to do it. What you do need is a lot of people who recognize that they have the ability to do something about the problem. Not by themselves, maybe, but working together and sharing their talents and their ideas. Together they can confront the problems and overcome them. That's what the Campaign for Human Development is all about.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
them say, murder will out. It's supposed to mean that murder cannot be hidden. The fact will eventually emerge. However, the tale you just heard adds a chilling dimension to that statement. It can now mean that murder may slumber deep inside each of us, and that one day it may find its way out. No, no, that won't do. Better enjoy murder vicariously with us. That way, you'll never be tempted or driven. Our cast included Larry Haynes, E.V. Juster, Robert Dryden, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
In a sense, he's still alive. Medically, he's dead. It's only a matter of time till the rest of him dies, too. And I am the one to live. Yes. You will live. My hands, how bad are they? When the wagon ran over them, the right one was severed, was moribund, devoid of all life by the time you were brought here.
And the other?
Crushed beyond hope.
Why wasn't I the one to die? I can never play the piano again.
There is one way you could.
How?
If I gave you Rudy Baum's hands.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. The time is 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and Soviet Party leader Leonid Brezhnev will meet again Tuesday for another day of intensive discussions. I'm Stephanie Shelton, reporting on the CBS radio network. Kissinger and Brezhnev met for 8 hours on Monday, the first day of a scheduled 3-day Moscow conference. A joint announcement said the two men reviewed strategic arms limitation and the work at the Geneva European Security Conference. The talks were described as businesslike and constructive, and State Department spokesman George Vest said the atmosphere was cordial and friendly. President Nixon's projected trip to Russia and the Mideast situation are also expected to be discussed before the Kissinger-Brezhnev meetings end. A problem between Israel and Egypt, which could have stalled Mideast peace efforts, has apparently been solved. Dan Bloom reports from Tel Aviv.
Israeli officials say they expect to receive word within a day or so that the Egyptians have rectified what the Israelis term a violation of the separation of forces agreement. Israel had complained to the United Nations that Egypt moved more artillery into the Egyptian zone east of the Suez Canal than was allowed. The UN passed the complaint along to the Egyptians and is scheduled to make an on-the-spot inspection within a few days. Additionally, it is reported here that the UN spotted several Egyptian cannons positioned about 100 yards outside the UN buffer zone and have asked Egypt to remove these as well. It is reported here that American Secretary of State Kissinger, before he left for Moscow, informed the Israeli ambassador to Washington that the Egyptians promised him the offending artillery will be pulled back. Dan Bloom, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
That sealed grand jury report goes to the House Judiciary Committee Tuesday morning. More on that in a moment.
Listen. Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. You feel it behind the eyes, under the cheekbones. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take Sinoff tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. Sinoff tablets, the sinus medicine. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff sinus spray? The fastest known form of sinus congestion relief. It penetrates clogged nasal passages in seconds. That's something. That's Sinoff sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray, only as directed. Sinoff, S-I-N-E-O-F-F, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
That sealed report bearing on any role President Nixon may have played in the Watergate cover-up will be turned over to the House Judiciary Committee Tuesday morning at 9:30 Eastern Time. Judge Sirica has asked representatives of the committee to come to his chambers at that time to receive the report and a suitcase of evidence which goes with it. House Speaker Carl Albert spoke out strongly Monday on President Nixon's attitude toward the House Committee's impeachment investigation. Albert accused the president of attacking the committee unfairly.
Such statements as they might want to take a U-Haul and go down to the White House and carry back all the documents they can find really does not represent anything that I have seen done or heard about as far as the committee is concerned. I've been in touch constantly with the chairman. It seems to me that that statement by itself is a wild defensive maneuver on the part of the president and almost beneath the dignity of the office of President of the United States, and I'm surprised that the president would say a thing like that.
Albert was interviewed on the Public Broadcasting Service. For all you college basketball fans, North Carolina won the NCAA title Monday night, beating Marquette 76-64. More news after this message.
Joan Crawford speaks of her early acting career.
One day you'd play a leading lady with Tim McCoy, or 1 week, and the next day you'd play a maid at a walk-on job, which was, I think, fantastic training for me, was for all of us. I don't think we realized that at the time, but to me, I wouldn't be me if I hadn't had that kind of training.
Joan Crawford, Kirk Douglas, Jack Lemmon, Liza Minnelli, Betty Davis, Ingrid Bergman, Dustin Hoffman, Julie Andrews. That's just part of the star-filled cast of The American Movie, a new CBS Radio Network weekend special this Saturday and Sunday. You'll go behind the scenes with dozens of stars, directors, and producers discussing their work, their opinions of changing movie trends, winning and losing an Oscar, anecdotes from their colorful careers. You'll hear actual scenes from some of Hollywood's greatest films. And with host Lee Jordan, trace the history of the American movie. 30 special broadcasts this Saturday and Sunday on the CBS Radio Network.
Illinois Governor Daniel Walker drove a car around Chicago on Monday, powered by experimental gasoline derived from Illinois coal. Walker called the fuel process a partial answer to both the energy crisis and to the problem of developing Illinois' estimated 148 billion tons of unmined coal. According to Walker, the gasification process will be commercially viable in about 10 years, and a gallon of the gas should sell for about 70 cents. However, the 15 gallons ordered for Monday's demonstration were a bit more expensive, something like $266 a gallon. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.